Greg, how are you?
Jonathan, what's going on?
Getting ready for the combine next week. I'm sure you are as well.
I'm very much looking forward to it. It's less than a week away.
That's right. And every year you're on the field watching these quarterbacks throw. But before we get to Indy and you get those observations, let's go through some of the top quarterbacks that everyone will be discussing next week and that we'll surely go in depth with you on throughout this draft process. And let's start with Joe Burrow. He played last season in that NFL vertical passing game concept there at LSU. What stood out to you when evaluating his tape from last year specifically?
Oh, I like Burrow a lot, Jonathan. I think I'd say the thing that probably stood out the most were two things. I'd say he's, number one, he's consistently accurate, very precise ball placement. And there's a calmness and composure and poise to his game that is, particularly when he moves, he's decisive yet patient with his movement, and he keeps his eyes focused downfield. And so there's a lot to like about Burrow. I think the only thing you'd probably say that he doesn't have is high-level arm strength, but he certainly can make throws. I don't think that's a big enough issue to say that he's not a high-level prospect.
Are you concerned at all when you're looking at a prospect and you're seeing all the game film from this year with Joe Burrow? Do you get concerned at all when it's that one huge year with a guy and you didn't necessarily see that? There's a lot of factors with that, new play callers and different things, but does that concern you at all with a player? Or are you simply looking at their latest film that they have and looking at and evaluating that way?
Well, let me answer it this way. First of all, he's a two-year starter. He did play the year before, so he's not a one-year player. And number two, every quarterback is a system quarterback. Every team has a system that a quarterback is asked to run. So when people say, well, he can only do a certain thing or he can only do this, I think you have to be a little careful about that, because everyone is a system quarterback that requires a system that theoretically is going to play to their strengths and minimize limitations. You know, Joe Burrow, because he does not have high-level arm strength, you're not going to ask him to run a system with a lot of deep drops and downfield throws that require velocity. Everybody knows that. That's not news. So I think you look at the traits, you evaluate the traits, and when you look at a Burrow, you see poise, you see vision, you see clarity, you see timing, you see pocket efficiency, you see accuracy, you see second reaction ability, you see the traits that work to be a quality NFL quarterback.
And Greg, he's excellent when he's on the move, looking downfield, yep, and off schedule, outside of the structure of the offense is, yep, how you would phrase it.
He absolutely is. I mean, he's very calm. You know, his calmness and his poise reminded me a lot of Tom Brady, just watching him play. There was just a very, very sort of simple poise to his game. So I really like Joe Burrow.
And he's out of the shotgun offense there. That's not going to hinder him one bit at the next level. But you've watched every snap, and the vast majority of his snaps are out of the shotgun, right?
Yes, he had 548 dropbacks this season, and 540 came out of the gun. You know, years ago, people would say that that's an issue. I don't think it's as big an issue. Now, look, he's going to have to play under center, so he's going to have to execute the play-action pass game under center, and I think that when you do turn your back to the defense, that is a learned trait, so he will have to learn that, because obviously the defense is not in the same position before you turn your back as it is after you've turned your back and then relook at the defense. So that's a learned trait. But my sense watching him with his comfort level and his vision is that he will end up being fine with that.
Something that you've mentioned in the past and that you note when it comes to his arm talent and velocity, where you say you want to see more, is it more footwork related when you watch him throw?
No, I don't think it's a function of his lower body mechanics. I think he just does not have a naturally powerful arm. You know, some guys do, some guys don't. But I think that he can make the necessary throws. He can certainly throw the ball in the middle of the field. He can throw deep digs. Whether he's going to make far hash deep comeback throws, deep sideline throws, that remains to be seen. But I don't think that his arm strength is a negative in a strict sense. Now, different people will have different views about that. and then it comes down to what style of offense you choose to run. But keep in mind, the NFL these days, there's not a lot of truly downfield passing. I'm not talking about fades. Those are not arm strength throws. Even really a deep post with timing is not a true arm strength throw. You know, not a lot of people are throwing downfield balls unless it's shot plays. You know, the average air yards in the NFL, I think, is going down every year.
Not every coordinator is Bruce Arians, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's not Bruce Arians kind of quarterback,
yeah.
You know, and that's fine. But my guess is that most will like what they see on film with Joe Burrow.
How much does having worked with an NFL guy in his final season maybe give him a head start on NFL stuff?
Probably from a concept standpoint, it helps a lot. Wherever he goes, unless it's a similar system, and unless the terminology is the same, he'll have to learn new terminology. But the concepts will be similar. Terminology is just like, you know, learning a different foreign language. It's like we know how to order a hamburger and French fries in the United States. If you go to France, you've got to learn how to order hamburger and French fries in that language, but it's still hamburger and French fries. So the concepts will be very much the same. It just becomes terminology.
Greg Cosell with us, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Speaking of deep passing, Tua Tagovailoa throws a great deep ball. And he's great with his timing and rhythm in that RPO offense. Where does he need refinement?
You know, he's an interesting guy because he's a guy that does not have a big-time arm either. And his deep ball is very interesting. When he throws it in rhythm, he throws a very good deep ball. There are times when his feet are not quite, you know, he hitches a lot. His feet are very, very quick, and sometimes he does not throw with a firm base, and sometimes his deep ball will hang and lose energy on the back end. To me, he's at his best when he plays rhythmically. That's the way he played for the most part at Alabama. Now, he had a lot of second reaction plays. I think there'll be reasonable debate as to whether he can do that in the NFL. I did not view him on tape as a great athlete. I don't think he'll make a lot of second reaction plays in the NFL. I don't think that'll be part of his MO. To me, in order to be a really good player in the NFL, he'll need to be really efficient, really precise from the pocket, with timing, with rhythm, and with really precise ball placement. That's the way I would see Tua as an NFL quarterback.
Can Tua become, and this is high expectation, I understand, but can he be a version of what we see when we watch Drew Brees within Sean Payton's offense in New Orleans?
Well, I think he'd have to stylistically play that way. You know, he can move a bit. He can navigate the pocket. He certainly can move around. But I think ultimately he's a programmed type thrower. And obviously in Alabama's offense, look, you can watch Alabama's offense and you'll see RPOs. You'll see quick slants. You'll see screens, multiple screen concepts to wide receivers, and guys take them 50 yards for a touchdown, and that gives him yards and numbers. You know, you have to be careful about just looking at numbers and saying, wow, that's great. But, you know, I think he's an executor and a ball distributor. To me, that's what he'll have to be in the NFL, which is like a Drew Brees. You know, that style of quarterback.
Let's move to Herbert and get your thoughts on the Oregon quarterback, Greg. It seems like evaluators either love or they hate him as a top prospect. There's no middle ground. Why is he so polarizing?
Well, I think he's polarizing, Jonathan, because he has traits. He's got size. He's got arm strength. He's got great movement and mobility. And you see that on tape. They're there for you. And when you see those kinds of traits, you always believe that you can coach that, channel it, and turn it into something special. I would say, though, that the concerns would be that he's not really a timing and anticipation thrower. There are times that his ball placement is not as consistent as it needs to be on fairly routine throws. You know, I think he's somewhat, as I call it, a see-it-throw-it quarterback. He needs to see it cleanly and then throw it. And sometimes in the NFL, I think that causes problems.
Is that typical for an Oregon quarterback?
Oh, I don't know if it's typical for an Oregon quarterback, but I think that there have been quarterbacks like that. I always thought Jay Cutler was like that, and I think Cutler obviously had a big-time arm just like Herbert. has a big time arm, and I think those guys always make great throws. The question is the negative throws, because those guys often are late with the ball, and in the NFL, just being half a beat late is late, and sometimes then interceptions occur or missed opportunities occur. So he'll be an interesting guy.
Is he the majority of his offense, is it out of the pistol in college?
A large part came out of the pistol. I mean, we were able to get those numbers, and he had 471 dropbacks this past year. 277 came out of the shotgun, 193 came out of the pistol. So he was in the pistol quite a bit.
Curious to get your take, because it sounds like Herbert has a very high floor, if I use one of those draft terms. And you kind of, he is what he is, but he may not be much more than what we see. We don't know, but that's what the negative take on him would be. He is what he is. But then we have on the opposite side, Jordan Love, who seems to have a very high ceiling, but also very polarizing when I read different people try to analyze his overall game. So I think that's one of the key questions I have for next week at the Combine, is trying to get a gauge on, do more people prefer a high ceiling of Love or a high floor of Herbert?
Well, I think this often becomes in the eye of the beholder. I mean, the one difference I would talk about between Justin Herbert and Jordan Love is I don't really view Herbert as kind of a ball distributor. He's not, to me, a precision kind of quarterback. You know, and in some ways, Josh Allen's like that, and Josh Allen has progressed very nicely through his first 2 years in the NFL with the Buffalo Bills, but I think there's offensive philosophies and approaches that you need to take when a quarterback is not a true ball distributor, and the Bills have done a lot of those things. And I think with Herbert, you're going to have to do those things as well. Shot plays become a big part of that kind of offense. I think Jordan Love has more of what I would call ball distributor traits, where he can drop back, hit the back foot, ball comes out, and he can be more of a precision player. I think that that there's much to work on with Love, but I think that there's also a lot to like. I mean, his size, his arm strength, his movement profile, it clearly suggests that he's a first-round talent, and he will be drafted in the first round.
So we're talking about one 6'6" quarterback in Herbert. I want to ask about another 6'6" quarterback from the Pac-12, Jacob Eason from Washington. What do you think about him, and what do you think about the system he played under Chris Peterson at Washington and how that helps him?
Yeah, Eason will be a fascinating guy, because now all you hear these days is people talking about quarterbacks that have to run around and make plays. Eason is a high-level throwing talent, great size. He's essentially a pocket quarterback. Now, he's not a statue, but he's not going to make his living making second reaction outside of structure plays. He'll ultimately succeed or fail based on his ability to play effectively and consistently from the pocket. He's a big kid. I've been around Jacob Eason. He showed some pocket toughness at times to make throws in the face of pressure, which I think is absolutely demanded of pocket quarterbacks. Will he be able to handle NFL pressure and blitz concepts? I think that will be a question. Teams will try to get a feel for that in the interviews with him, if he can speak about those kinds of things cleanly. I think he needs to be developed. You know, he played 1 year at Georgia, and he played this 1 year at Washington. He's relatively inexperienced, but he's a really good throwing talent.
And he's interesting, Greg, because you can watch him under center as much as you see him in the shotgun, which is good for evaluation purposes. And to tie it back in, when we mentioned Arians with Burrow and how that may not fit, Eason is more capable of that vertical downfield passing attack. He is that style of quarterback.
For sure. I mean, I think that he can make those downfield throws. And so what you see a lot are him under center with play action. Not a lot, but, I mean, you saw that a good amount. I think that's something that you'll look to do with him, because he can do the play action and he can drive the ball down the field with intermediate and vertical route concepts, combination route concepts. That's something he can do. There's always a place for that. Even though it's a league where it seems that the air yards have gotten shorter and shorter, keep in mind, offensive coaches are still looking for explosive pass plays. That's still very, very important in this league. And Eason is a guy that can drive the ball down the field.
You have any sense of how you would stack those three right now?
You know, I mean, Burrow to me is clearly the number one quarterback prospect in this class. After that, I think it's very much going to be in the eye of the beholder. It depends on scheme, philosophy. You know, Jonathan before the break made the point about Bruce Arians liking certain kinds of quarterbacks. I think it gets into offensive philosophy, offensive approaches. You know, we were having a conversation earlier in my office about Daniel Jones last year when the Giants took him with the sixth pick, and that a lot of people thought that from a talent perspective, he did not necessarily deserve to be the sixth pick. Now, obviously, he ended up having a good season, but the Giants under Dave Gettleman have a philosophy. You know, they have a great back. They want to go play action. They want the quarterback to be a ball distributor and an executor. It comes down to philosophy of offense. There's very few quarterbacks who transcend offensive philosophies. Everyone is a system quarterback for the most part. So that's what it ultimately comes down to. You know, Tua is a different player than Jacob Eason. You know, it depends on what your offense is and what you like from your quarterback.
Any thoughts at this stage on Jalen Hurts and where he fits in as a pro prospect at this point?
Yeah, I've looked at Jalen Hurts, and he, you know, he's another guy that I think you have to, the first thing you have to do, I think, is figure out what you think he is. You know, is Jalen Hurts the kind of guy that can, let's say, eventually develop into a Dak Prescott kind of quarterback? Keep in mind, when Dak Prescott came out of Mississippi State, he was a fourth-round pick, and most people did not view him as a very good thrower of the football. So you have to decide, can Jalen Hurts develop into that kind of player over time? Or is he ultimately the kind of quarterback where if you decide he's your quarterback, do you have to think more in terms of a Lamar Jackson and build your offensive foundation with the quarterback as a runner and not a distributor in the pass game as the Ravens offense is built? So I think, again, now it comes down to philosophy. What do you think Jalen Hurts is? That's a hard question to answer. Because ultimately with Hurts, you know, he's a better thrower this year at Oklahoma than he was, let's say, when he was at Alabama. But I'm not sure if people will see him as a true, really good thrower.
Greg, I'll never forget that when you evaluated Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma, you said that you were surprised by how often he threw with structure in that offense. I'm sure that you had preconceived notions about Jalen Hurts going in, about what you had heard about him and the type of quarterback that he was, much like Baker Mayfield. Did anything surprise you about this Oklahoma quarterback when you turned on the tape and saw him play? Or did it pretty much fit the description of what you thought going in?
I mean, look, anytime, you know, there's a quarterback who plays a lot of games for a coach like Lincoln Riley, you're going to see good things that obviously transition. I mean, obviously, he did throw the ability to throw, show the ability to throw with pace and touch. He showed the ability to vary his ball speed at times. He showed some good pocket play at times. You know, there were, if you didn't know who he was, there were many, many snaps in which he looked like he could transition to the NFL and play reasonably well. The question is, when you get to the NFL and defenses are a little more detailed, a little more sophisticated, do more things, and offenses are going to ask him to do more things theoretically, you know, can he play that way? And I think that will be a question for some. As I said, you know, can you look at a Dak Prescott? And obviously Dak Prescott started from day one in the NFL and played very well beginning from day one in a certain style of offense. Again, it always comes down to the philosophy of the offense and the approach you're taking.
Greg, is there a throwing motion or a quarterback in particular that you're eager to evaluate in person next week? Watch the ball come off their hand?
Well, you know, there's a guy we haven't talked about who's, you know, I saw his name, that he's at the combine, and I didn't really know much about him, so I watched him, and I was kind of interested in him, and that's Jake Luton from Oregon State, who actually had a great senior year, and I thought he was very intriguing to watch on tape, and I'm kind of anxious to see him, because I think he's got a lot to work with, and the kind of guy that, I never know where guys are going to get drafted. No one knows that right now. I think he's the kind of guy that could develop into an NFL starter with the right coaching and the right system.
Greg, we look forward to seeing you in Indy next week.
I'm looking forward to it, guys. When do you get there again?
We'll be there Tuesday, starting Tuesday for our live broadcast.
All right. Well, I get there Tuesday, so I'm sure I'll see you.
Are we going to have our dinner, Greg? Can we go ahead and make plans for this?
We're in for Wednesday.
Wednesday night dinner?
We're in. We're good to go.
Kirby is signed up for... Oh, no. Kirby's not coming.
No.
Yeah, we got out of Curb. Sweet.
He's not going to the combine?
No, he's been demoted.
Rhett will be there.
Oh, so,
yeah,
man.
We're looking forward to it.
We upgraded.
Is Coach Mac going?
Mac will be there as well.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's going to be around quite a bit. So
good. I'm really looking forward to seeing him.
We'll definitely have some big dinners there for sure.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Thank you, Greg.
Okay.